Approximately 9.3% of adults in the United States are fluent in English and another language. There are a lot of people who are hoping that number will rise in the next generation. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we'll talk about what we know about how kids learn second languages and how parents and educators are making use of that knowledge. I'll talk with Pam Wesley, assistant professor of foreign language and ESL at the University of Iowa. I'll also talk with an elementary school Spanish teacher, an elementary school Chinese teacher, the executive director of pre-K through 8th grade education at the Cedar Rapids Schools, and the superintendent of West Liberty Community Schools. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. 30 years ago, there were very few opportunities for grade school students to learn a second language, but that has slowly been changing. This hour, we'll talk about what we know about how kids learn second languages, and we'll also explore some of the innovative programs in Iowa schools that are giving elementary school students an opportunity to learn a second language. I'm going to start the hour with Pam Wesley. She is assistant professor of foreign language and ESL, English as a second language at the University of Iowa. Hello, Pam.
Pam, glad to be here.
Hi, thank you so much for being here today.
Mm-hmm.
And can you start with sort of giving us the most recent information on how children acquire languages? There has been a lot of research done about this over the years, and sometimes we hear that early childhood is the best time to acquire a foreign language, and then sometimes we hear, it's a good time, but there are other good times. Mm-hmm. What do we know right now?
Well, I think that we know that more is always better. And so if that means that we can start at an early age, then that will produce children who can, and students and young people who can get to higher levels of proficiency, who can speak and understand and write and read better in the language later. However, I don't think that means that if you don't get a chance to learn early, then all hope is lost. And so I think that that's an interesting balance to have to strike. I think that's maybe why the discourse sort of happens that, you know, people think, oh, I can't learn as an adult. When you can, it's just that you can learn more if you start earlier. You can learn more as you go because you have more schooling in the language, of course.
Are there also some special advantages that young children have in acquiring a new language?
Yes. I mean, there has been a fair amount of research on brain development, and there's actually some great research that shows that students who have a chance to take language as an elementary age student in elementary school, that they actually can score higher on tests compared to the standardized tests compared to students who don't get that chance, and this is controlling for different variables as well. So this controls for socioeconomic status and background and things like that. So I mean, there have been studies that show that. There's also sometimes an argument, well, if you teach foreign language in elementary schools, then you're taking away from something else. And that's actually been shown to not be the case in terms of performance on tests, that you don't end up losing other skills, other basic skills, because of taking languages.
It is very challenging, though, for elementary schools to think about giving time in the educational
day
to something new.
Certainly, yes. That's always something that schools, administrators, you know, have to balance. I think, obviously, as someone who specializes in foreign language, I think, well, you should always make time for it. But I realize there are always other factors as well.
Are there, when you talk to people who acquired language at an earlier age, and mm-hmm. let's talk about not in the home, not a second language in the home,
okay,
but actually through education, through taking classes,
mm-hmm.
are there other advantages, such as good pronunciation, that kind of thing,
oh.
that younger students seem to have over older students?
I will say that pronunciation has been one of the things that has been shown to be stronger. A better pronunciation is better accent is stronger if you start learning at an earlier age. Although I have to say, I mean, you know, I know many very accomplished. I mean, I think of Henry Kissinger. You know, people who have strong accents and are still seen to be very well educated, and you know, it's okay to have an accent, I think. But yes, you're right. I mean, at an earlier learning at an earlier age does help to reduce strong accents. The research has shown that. I think also learning at an earlier age does help with things like openness to other cultures, knowledge of the world, awareness of the world. I think those are definite, especially because when you get to early adolescence, ages 10, 10 and up, there have, you know, developmentally, research shows that people do change and kids sort of change in terms of how open they are to other cultures and other people in the world and difference. And so if they have a chance to be exposed to that early, that's wonderful for them. And it helps them understand the world in a way that is, I think, really important, that they're not just members of one culture, that there are many cultures out there and that they have a responsibility to be citizens of the world.
I'm talking with Pamela Wesley. She's assistant professor of foreign language and ESL at the University of Iowa. And Pam, stay with us. We're going to bring a lot of other people into this conversation,
great,
but we'll also keep coming back to you, okay, to give us some insight. Next, I'm going to talk to Steve Hansen. He is the superintendent of West Liberty Community Schools, where they've had a dual language program in English and Spanish for 15 years now. This is the only program of its kind in the state of Iowa. Hello, Steve.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem. I'm glad to be present.
And can you give us a little bit, in a nutshell, an idea of how this dual language program works in West Liberty Schools?
Yes. The program, as you reported, started 15 years ago with two sections of kindergarten, which were operated in a 50-50 model, 50% of the students' day with instruction delivered in Spanish and 50% of the students' day with instruction delivered in English. And of the students who were members of those two classes, those two sections of kindergarten, they were roughly 50-50 students from homes that have English as their home language and students from homes where Spanish is the predominant language. So the design of the program is always aimed at trying to maintain a 50-50 balance of home language, English, Spanish.
And that represents the population of West Liberty as well, which is
right,
about 50% Hispanic, right?
Right. We're slightly over 50% Hispanic in West Liberty and in the mid-40s Anglo.
All right. And
so it started 15 years ago with that combination, and then added one grade level each year for the following 13 years until we had a full slate of kinder through 12th grade students who had proceeded through the dual language program. Now it continues to operate in a K-12 manner. Our district has about 90 students per grade level, 90 to 100. At the lower grades, we have five sections at each grade level. Three of those five sections are dual language sections. This is a choice program, so families decide when their children enter kindergarten whether or not they would like to participate in the program.
And with three out of the five sections being dual language, do you have to turn any students away? Do you try to maintain that balance?
We certainly try not to turn anyone away, and we keep our fingers crossed, and we've been lucky the numbers have worked out for us in the last few years that we haven't had to put anyone on the waiting list. So we've been able to expand and add a third section at each of the lower grades. It's something that we've managed to keep up with. If we were to get, we'd like to keep 20 per section as a cap, especially in grades K through 3. And if we were to get 80 people who wanted to go into the dual language program in kindergarten next year, that'd be a little bit of a problem because, you know, there are ramifications all the way up the line. So you add a section at kindergarten now, and if they continue then to first grade, and then you have another section at first grade, and you have your current employees, but then you have future employees you'll need to add if you add sections. So it can be a challenge logistically for the future in making decisions. But so far we've been kind of lucky that the what we offer is in proportion to what people have asked for.
Well, and you've been at this now for 15 years. You have, what, three classes that have graduated that have been doing
right.
this program throughout their entire education.
Yep.
When you look at those graduates, would you say that the students who did not have exposure to Spanish before they started kindergarten, are they fluent in Spanish when they graduate from high school?
Well, certainly they operate at a level of fluency which is typically much higher than what your typical student would have with Spanish 1, 2, 3, 4 in high school. For example, if you go into a middle school Spanish language class or a middle school culture class, culture and history and geography class conducted in Spanish, you know, the language of the class is Spanish. There's no use of English to teach that content to the students, and our teachers at middle school are native speakers, and they use Spanish the entire class, and the students understand what they're doing, and the students write in Spanish and read in Spanish, and so they operate at a level you might see with some Spanish 3 students in high school or Spanish 4.
What do you think that this has done for your district? I mean, clearly you've made a tremendous investment in this program, and it continues. Why? What is powerful about this program from your perspective?
Well, from the perspective, first of all, of reflecting our community and our community needs, that's important, that a significant population in the community belongs and has their culture and their identity and their language have been recognized. Fundamentally, you know, that's important. Also, the cognitive benefits that our students have derived from participation in the program. I think that Pam from the University of Iowa mentioned earlier some of the cognitive benefits. We have to believe that our students have received those benefits by their participation in the program.
Mm-hmm.
Of the students from the last 3 years who have graduated and gone on to university, it's becoming increasingly common that they will have a co-major or a minor in Spanish at university. And that many of them develop interests in international business or other international outlooks.
Have you gotten a lot of attention from other districts around the nation coming and observing what you're doing in West Liberty?
We have received some attention, being one of the few districts in Iowa that have a program like this. There are some private schools in the state that have K-8 schools that have bilingual dual language programs, and Marshalltown has a dual language program. I'm not sure when their first graduating class will graduate, whether that's in another year or two. But our district, in addition to having dual language program for 15 years, is also we have our three buildings, elementary, middle, and high, are called International Spanish Academies. We have an agreement with the Ministry of Education of Spain to have this recognition of our program. And
all right, we need to take a quick break. Steve, we'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about introducing foreign languages or second languages to children in Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about foreign languages for children. We're talking about introducing children to a second language in elementary school. And with me today, Pam Wesley is Assistant Professor of Foreign Language and ESL at the University of Iowa. Steve Hansen is here. He is the Superintendent of West Liberty Community Schools, where they've had a dual language program with English and Spanish for 15 years now. We're going to talk about the program in Cedar Rapids here in just a moment. Steve, I have one more question, and I want you to stay
sure.
with us, because I think that it'll be great to have your knowledge shared with the other people who are also working on programs like this. But Pam was mentioning earlier that, of course, one of the things that schools fear when they think about introducing a language program in elementary school is that they would be taking away from the instructional time that they need in other subjects. How have you felt about how the dual language program has impacted test scores in West Liberty, standardized test scores over the years?
I guess what we see the results that when students who progress all the way through get to high school. So comparing our reading scores on the Scholastic Reading Inventory, we see that students who are English language learners who have spent their school career in the dual language program have done better on their reading results when they get to high school than English language learners who did opted not to enter the dual language program.
Interesting.
That's one particular category of students that we've seen those results for. We've also compared results for the past 3 years of participants in dual language versus those who did not participate, and we've seen some differences both ways. There seems to be a direction established towards dual language doing better, but we don't have definitive evidence saying that that is the case.
But you haven't.
They haven't lost anything.
Right. Okay.
No, they haven't lost. They haven't lost any ground in elementary by spending half of their day. The two partner teachers who together teach a group of 45 or 50 students and share them 1 week in Spanish, 1 week in English, stair step their lessons so that if you learn that 2 + 2 = 4 this week in math, then you learn in English, then you'd learn 2 + 3 = 5 the following week in Spanish, mm-hmm. in math, you know, that sort of thing, that the lessons are not repeated, but rather
built upon,
mm-hmm. built on each other. So it's not like it takes extra time to learn a concept. If this week you might be introduced to the concept in Spanish, and then next week continue that concept in English.
Pam?
I would like to just also emphasize that even if the scores are the same for the two groups of the students who have the monolingual English curriculum and the students who have the Spanish, in the dual language program, even if the scores end up the same, the kids who come out of the dual language program are bilingual.
Yes,
you know, they haven't added
already
a language.
They haven't lost anything. They've gained is being bicultural and bilingual.
I know. I mean, and that's what's really wonderful about those types of programs.
Well, and I'm sure it was a program like yours, Steve, that probably inspired the Cedar Rapids Community Schools. Val Dolzel is here with us now. She is the Executive Director of Pre-K through 8th Grade Education at the Cedar Rapids Schools, and they're working to implement a program they're calling the FLES program, Foreign Language in the Elementary Schools is what FLES stands for. Hello, Val.
Hello, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And this program has been around now. It's in its third year?
Correct.
Go ahead. Tell me a little bit about the origin of the program. What was the original idea and how is it being implemented?
Well, truly, 3 years ago, I think we saw an opportunity in Cedar Rapids to really give our students an option and an experience that was going to benefit them. Our current superintendent, Dr. Benson, came from a district that had a foreign language program, and it was specifically Spanish. And from that, we started studying what they had done, looking at what are some of the positive benefits of that, and developed what we felt would be an implementation process for all students to take part in this. We started with kindergarten and first grade 2 years ago. We've added second last year and now third, and we'll continue to grow through fifth grade, and then we'll move into middle school. And then at that point, obviously in high school, we have Spanish opportunities for students, and we'll have conversations on what that might look like even as time goes forward.
And in the first 3 years of the program, how's it going?
Really very well. We have had great experiences for students. I see kids that are happy. They're excited. They love to speak to you in Spanish. It's really neat to see a first grader come up to you and count or use colors, words that are in Spanish. And I also see our teachers, especially the teachers that have now been exposed to it for a couple years, using those Spanish words as they're learning numbers, as they're learning colors, as they're referencing different things, body parts, and all the pieces that we're trying to teach. And that's kind of an exciting piece for our students because they see their teacher using that same information and helping them learn those words, learn those concepts, those kinds of things in Spanish as well, which has been very exciting. Parents have been very happy with it. I was a principal in a building last year, and at the building, I really had a lot of parents say, I really like Spanish, and I really am glad my child is being exposed to this. It's going to give them an opportunity to understand a different language. It gives them an opportunity to understand different cultures, because there's a lot of conversation about the Mexican culture or other Spanish-speaking country cultures as we move forward. And that has been really kind of an eye-opener, I think, to parents thinking about, this is something I didn't have. I'm so glad that my child has this experience in Cedar Rapids.
And how often do the kids have a Spanish class?
It's 30 minutes every third day, so it's on a three-day rotation, and it happens right in their classroom. In the beginning, we ask that the classroom teachers stay so that they can learn that language, learn those concepts, learn those words. And then after a year, we then say the teacher doesn't have to necessarily stay in the room with them, but often many of our teachers are, so they can continue to learn and be able to use that language throughout the day, even when the Spanish teacher isn't there. It's not uncommon to see it walk in a classroom on a non-Spanish day and have a teacher counting in Spanish with kids, you know, that maybe they counted to 20 in kindergarten and now they're going to count 20 in Spanish, or they're going to count the days on the calendar in Spanish, which is kind of a neat thing to see.
And we were just talking about the program in West Liberty where it's an optional program. Students don't have to participate if they don't want to, or if their parents don't want to them to for some reason. Do all children in the Cedar Rapids Elementary Schools take Spanish?
Yes, they do. It is offered at every classroom, every of our grades K through 3 right now. And we've just been very lucky in that parents see this as a benefit. We've had a few parents who say, my child doesn't speak clear English and actually may receive speech services for that. And where there's a lot of research out there that says learning another language just helps with some of that articulation and things like that. So we're able to help parents understand. And they, as well, have come back and said, wow, you know, my child is, you know, pronouncing better in English because they've had now an experience with another language, which is exciting.
I'm talking with Val Dozal, who is the executive director of pre-K through 8th grade education in the Cedar Rapids School, where they are rolling out their FLESS program. That stands for Foreign Language in the Elementary Schools. Stay with us, Val, and we're going to bring one of your teachers into the conversation in just a moment. But we've talked a lot about Spanish. Now we're going to turn our attention for a few minutes to Chinese. Sufan Huang is a Chinese teacher at Walnut Street School in the Des Moines Public Schools, now teaching in her second year. Hello, Sufan.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
I'm glad to be here with you all.
And you teach Chinese to pre-K through fifth grade. How often do you get to spend time with the students?
We have two sections per week, 30 minutes per section.
All right, so twice a week, 30 minutes at a time. Why Chinese at Walnut Street School? I mean, we've talked a lot about Spanish in Iowa. We have a lot of Spanish speakers who have moved to the state of Iowa. Why Chinese?
From the school point of view, our school is the International Baccalaureate School, which would have to have a foreign language education. And I don't know why our principal chose Chinese, but from my point of view, there are a lot of reasons to learn Chinese.
This is your second year. How is Chinese integrated into other areas of the curriculum at Walnut Street School?
Our unit lessons in Chinese are connected with the IB units that they are learning in their classrooms. For example, like our second grade is focusing on geography process in their unit of inquiry. In Chinese class, we are learning words of different landforms and sentences as well. And we also learn about famous mountains and rivers in China. So the units in Chinese are connected with what they are learning in their homeroom.
Now, there are a number of parents who have a little bit of Spanish knowledge, and I can imagine can be supportive at home. How can parents who presumably very few of them actually speak Chinese or have had Chinese lessons themselves, how can parents support the students that you teach?
I have developed a website which is Chinese at wannastray.weebly.com. I have put all of the words we learn, the songs we learn, and the cultures we have learned through these couple years online. And I send emails to parents every once in a while, and to ask them to help their kids to go online to practice those words and sentences.
How much Chinese do you feel that your students remembered over the summer now that you're in the classroom with them again?
A lot of them, they still remember counting, colors, and adjusting teachers, principals, and we have also learned animals, calendar. They have, some kids, they are able to do it quite a lot. We have 20 announcements in the morning, and I have a lot of kids who could speak a paragraph without me helping them.
Wow. Well, Sufan, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Sure. Thank you.
Sufan Huang is a Chinese teacher at Walnut Street School in the Des Moines Public Schools. It's a school of choice in Des Moines, teaching Chinese to pre-K through fifth graders. And now back to Cedar Rapids, I want to bring another teacher into the conversation. Crystal Saxton is a Spanish teacher in the FLESS program in Cedar Rapids. And you're also in your second year of teaching, right, Crystal?
I am in my second year, yes, Charity.
All right. Although again, this is the third week or the third year of the program, but your second year as a teacher, and you get to spend time, again, every 3 days, 30 minutes every 3 days with the children. And are you teaching K through third grade?
I am teaching K through third grade, not at all of my schools. Sometimes I have to split and only teach certain sections at certain schools because of timing and scheduling. But yeah, I teach all K through three.
And how many Spanish teachers are there for the elementary schools in Cedar Rapids?
There are 8 of us this year, and we have a great strong team of very diverse teachers who help write and create our curriculum. And it's a great team to work on that has a lot of strengths that we can pull from for different areas.
Well, I'll ask you the same question that I asked Sufan about retention over the summer. If children are not speaking Spanish at home, did you find that they remembered a lot from what they learned last year?
I was kind of shocked. I just went through and we just did our first trimester assessment, and a lot of my students were scoring very highly on things that I had taught them at the end of last year to kind of get them ready for the new year. So I'm impressed with how much they remembered. I sent some, we like to sing songs and use YouTube videos in class. And so I sent those home over the summer in hopes that they would want to watch them at home and learn over the summer when I wasn't with them.
So can you give me an idea if we're talking about, let's say, second graders who are in their second or third year of Spanish, what kinds of words and constructions are they learning right now?
Right now in second grade, we're working on telling time, which could be kind of a difficult concept in English. So a lot of my classroom teachers are very excited that I'm working on the concept in Spanish. It gives a great time to reinforce what they have previously taught them in their classrooms. And we're just, they don't know this yet. It's a secret for them, but they're going to start learning about Puerto Rico in my next lesson. So every year we have a cultural piece that we pick, and this year it'll be Puerto Rico for second and third grade. And so they're really excited. I prepped them on Friday and teased them a little bit with a flag and some facts, but they don't know where we're going yet.
What has surprised you the most?
How much they love it. My students, if I walk through the hallways during the school day, I'm constantly having students yell, "Hola, Señora Saxton," down the hallway to me. Anytime they can use their language, they're excited to use it, and they love it.
Well, we're going to bring everybody back into the conversation. We have a lot of people in this conversation. You are also welcome to join with your questions or your experiences at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me is Crystal Saxton. She's a Spanish teacher in the FLESS program in Cedar Rapids. Also with me, Val Dolzal, who is executive director of the pre-K through 8th grade education in Cedar Rapids Schools, where they are implementing this program. Steve Hansen is on the line. He's the superintendent of West Liberty Community Schools, where they have had a dual language program for 15 years now. And also Pam Wesley, assistant professor of foreign language and ESL at the University of Iowa. And Pam, we have talked about such a wide variety of interactions, you know, with a 30-minute class every 3 days in Cedar Rapids, with, really daily interactions in Spanish and English in West Liberty schools, different setup in Walnut Street School in Des Moines. How often is enough for kids in elementary school to really start learning?
That's a great question. I think as I've already said, you know, more is always better, but we also have to be realistic. And a FLES program like Cedar Rapids is giving students this exposure. And also, I think one thing that's really wonderful about this Cedar Rapids program, I know a little bit about it, is that there is a focus on you know, really getting students to be able to communicate in the language and do more in the language. And that's a really important thing, that it's not just how much, but also sort of what is the focus. If the focus is really on developing proficiency and getting students to progress in their knowledge of the language and not just sort of repeating the same theme over and over through the years, I think that's really key. I mean, obviously, yes, more is better, and students who come out of a program like West Liberty will have a higher level of proficiency in the language than students who are only able to get it for 30 minutes every 3 days. But I think if the program really is focusing on getting students to progress and gain more knowledge and ability in the language, that's really the important thing, and that really is what ends up producing students who are who do make the gains that we've already spoken about. I think one other thing is that's very important is that Cedar Rapids has, as do all these programs, they all have well-trained teachers who are fluent in the language or who have very high proficiency in the language, and who know how to teach language, and that's also been shown to be very important. That it's not sort of programs that get a teacher who can maybe speak the language but doesn't really know anything about language education, and specifically, those are programs that often don't end up with that good of results. But programs where teachers are, and Crystal was a student with me, so of course I know she's extremely well trained.
All right, well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back in just a moment. We're talking about teaching second languages to children in elementary school, and we'd love for you to join the conversation as well. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about children learning a second language in elementary school. And you're welcome to join our conversation with your questions, with your experiences at 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org, or you can post on our Facebook page as well. Just go to Iowa Public Radio. And I have a room full of people who are willing to answer your questions right now. With me, Pam Wesley, who's Assistant Professor of Foreign Language and ESL at the University of Iowa. Steve Hansen is the Superintendent of West Liberty Community Schools, where they've had a dual language program for 15 years now. Val Dolzel is the Executive Director of Pre-K through 8th grade education in the Cedar Rapids Schools, where they have a newish foreign language program in the elementary schools in its third year now. And also one of her teachers is here. Crystal Saxton is a Spanish teacher in the FLES program in Cedar Rapids. She is in her second year of teaching. And again, you can join us, 866-780-9100. And right before the break, we were talking about the importance of having teachers who are trained to teach as well as people who speak the languages. Steve, over the years, I'm sure that you've become quite a magnet for teachers with Spanish language skills. Was it difficult at first to find people who were qualified?
Well, I've only been here 3 years. This is my third year now. But I think that West Liberty's in a fortunate location, being near Iowa City, which does provide us a bit of a source of teachers in our backyard, as it were, or people who are interested in coming to this area because of the attractiveness of the Iowa City area. So we're fortunate to have a good cross-section of some Iowa people who've been abroad and learned to speak Spanish, or we also have a Texan who's a Tex-Mex, grew up with Spanish in the household. We have a Colombian. We have Venezuelan. We have some visiting teachers from Spain. We have Puerto Rican and another teacher from Mexico. And so we have a good cross section of people who really do live and breathe Spanish as a language. 16 different teachers who spend all or part of their day teaching in Spanish.
Well, and that sounds like a wonderful opportunity for cultural sharing as well. Are teachers encouraged to share information about their native cultures?
Yes, you bet. I mean, part of the project work of students, especially in the elementary and middle schools with their their social studies class, their history, geography class is involved with investigation of other cultures and the geography and history of other cultures, Spanish-speaking cultures. So that's very much a part of the language learning.
We have this Facebook post from Tammy. The Iowa legislature needs to allocate funds in the form of grants as they did in the 90s. This encouraged many districts to start programs. And, of course, I know that funding is a constant source of challenges for school districts everywhere. Val, was it difficult to convince the district that this was worth investing in?
I think with the study that was done and looking at, obviously, other districts and what they had accomplished, the successes that they had had, our school board really felt that this was something that would be an opportunity that we couldn't really put probably even a dollar figure on. I mean, the commitment was there that this was an opportunity, an experience, and a learning piece that we wanted to bring to our students in Cedar Rapids. And so the commitment came, and it continues at our school board level as well as with our teaching staff, very committed to giving our kids the language and experiences in Spanish, and that commitment, I think, will just continue to grow. And it's made, it's an opportunity we can give to students in Cedar Rapids Community School District, and that's something that we're very proud of.
Now, with 8 teachers teaching Spanish in the elementary schools in Cedar Rapids, was it difficult for you to find qualified teachers?
You know, I was not part of the hiring process, will be in the future, but we started with 4 the first year that we did kindergarten first, and then we added 2 more last year and then another 2 this year. And from the experiences that I've heard, they were very successful candidates. We had multiple candidates that did apply, and we were able to really pick the best of the group, which is exciting. I think, again, being close to Iowa City, we have a lot that have gone through university programs who many of them were successful classroom teachers and now are teaching Spanish in the classroom.
Well, and Crystal, this was a career change for you to go into teaching Spanish. And when you started your education shift, this program in Cedar Rapids hadn't been started. But did you have an idea that these kind of programs were burgeoning and this was an area where there would be growth?
I really didn't have too much of an idea about it. I did a research project during one of my classes and found out about the West Liberty program, and I was excited. And I said, oh, someday if I could ever have an opportunity to do that, I would love it. It would be amazing. Then when I went to go to do my student teaching, I was placed in the FLES program in Cedar Rapids, and I said, wow, how can I ever leave? Please hire me. I want to work for you guys. So I've loved it every day since then. I really enjoy the early language, and I'm qualified to teach high school, but there's such a difference with kids when they're young and how much enthusiasm they have and they bring to a language that is hard to meet for high school students.
And Pam, are you seeing more and more opportunities for your students?
Yes, and you know, we are really trying hard to encourage our students, because in Iowa you get a secondary license, the sort of standard license in foreign languages, a secondary license, so high school, middle school, and high school. And we're really trying hard to encourage our students to do what Crystal did, which is also to get the elementary license, because it's all sort of a big network, right? You aren't going to start programs if you don't think the teachers are there. And so we really try hard to create, you know, to get teachers to get this elementary licensure so that they can then apply for jobs in the districts that are trying to start these programs, and they can have well-qualified teachers applying for the jobs. And I should also note that there are many excellent institutions in the state of Iowa other than the University of Iowa. Of course, I'm biased, but there are many people who are doing really wonderful work with elementary. Iowa State has a long history with Marsha Rosenbusch's work with elementary foreign language, and I really do want to mention that there's a great network in Iowa. In fact, the woman whose comment is on the Facebook page is actually Tammy Dan is a leader in the state with elementary foreign language. And that's one great thing about working in Iowa at the elementary level, is that there is a network out there. So we're trying to get more teachers out there to join that network and to get that community, because there's some great opportunities.
Well, and she brings up the question of funding. And I can imagine that starting a program based on a grant is a kind of frightening thing for teachers and for a school, because, of course, at some point, usually a grant runs out. Is there some controversy over where funding for this kind of program should come from, Pam?
You know, I think unfortunately, the what we call the FLAP grants have been cut by the federal government, and some programs that have been started with those grants have luckily continued. So, for example, I believe Mid Prairie started an elementary Spanish and Chinese program recently, and it was funded by external funds, and I believe they're continuing. I don't know the exact details of their story, but the great thing is when you start a great program, it's hard to cut it. So sometimes with this, you're not going to start new programs without some support from the state and federal government. But once they're in place, people love them and they want to keep them. And so that's really important to give school districts the opportunity to start these programs because they are so well received and they're very important for the students.
We have an email that says, I'm a FLES teacher in West Des Moines in a school that has a large number of native Spanish speakers. I hear from my native Spanish speaking parents over and over how when their child was in kindergarten or in a different school without a FLES program, they would refuse to speak in Spanish with their parents. Once they start Spanish class with me in first grade, they go home wanting to speak Spanish again. Stories like that remind me that we are not just teaching our English speakers a second language, but also validating our native Spanish speakers' language and culture. Having Spanish as a class during their school day makes them want to keep their home language. And Steve, is that something that has been talked about in West Liberty, the fact that you're really validating something that children may not have felt proud about before?
Well, yes, that's very much true here, that it does validate that very important part of our community, that culture and that language. And it, as I had mentioned earlier in the broadcast, that's one of the primary reasons why such a program is important to our district. So originally, 15 years ago, when this program was started, it wasn't started for John. It was started for Juan. It was started as an intervention for English language learners. Mm-hmm. And John happened to benefit, but the program has existed in the beginning for the benefit of Juan. And 15 years ago when the district got the grant to start it, that's who it was for. Now, more and more people whose home language is English are seeing the value in such a program and want to get on board.
It's nice that it benefits both groups.
It benefits both, you betcha.
And Crystal, I saw you nodding your head when you were listening to that email.
I've also seen that in my schools. I have Cedar Rapids has specific English language learning schools, and one of those is my school, one of my schools. And I have kids who are working on their third language, and those are some of my best students. They're already exposed to one language at home. Now they're exposed to Spanish and English at school, and they thrive and grow. And they're also seeing that validating the Spanish culture helps them validate their own culture that they come back to with their home cultures as well.
We have another email question. This is from Nick. When I was in school in the 1980s, we had the opportunity to learn French, German, or Spanish. Or if we were fortunate enough to have a student teacher that spoke another language, Russian or Italian, we could learn that for a year. That variety seems to have completely disappeared. I understand why Spanish is taught extensively in our schools now. Now it seems that teaching a foreign language is based on application and current needs. Is there a push for Chinese or languages of the Asian subcontinent or Arabic as well? Pam?
You know, it's always it's interesting that the literature sort of talks about how over time the languages that are being taught are the ones that often have there's sort of an international push for them. So, for example, French, which is what I took and what I taught, that became very popular after World War II because they were allies, you know. And so there's always a large push for sort of a certain languages based on international politics or international, even military push or economics, of course. So, yes, there is. I think that there's definitely a desire to establish programs in Chinese, in Arabic as well. I think the issue is also, though, that you can't just start a program without having qualified teachers and without having an infrastructure in place. And that's been shown over and over again. You can't start a program if you don't have somebody to sort of, you know, spearhead it and to be in charge of it and to keep it sustained. Having a student study for 1 year and then drop it because they don't enjoy it isn't going to really help. And so I think that the pressure then, I think anybody should learn. Everybody should learn a language. I don't really care which one, frankly. I just think everybody should learn one, and I think that it's important for language teachers to sort of agree to that, even though we all have our own that we teach ourselves. But I do think that that there is a push for certain languages. It's just not necessarily as easy as just establishing a program because you need to have sort of, like I said, the infrastructure in place for that.
Well, and Pam, I'm sitting here as a parent listening to everybody talk this hour and feeling incredibly envious because my children are in a district that does not offer foreign language in the elementary schools. So for those of us who don't have those kind of options, what are the options that are out there? We see a lot of these electronic language programs that say that, you know, we can buy the DVDs and we can learn these languages at home. Are those kinds of things effective with children?
I would say no. I mean, I think that I sort of see some of those programs like I see joining the health club, like, you know, people pay a lot of money to join and then sort of don't continue with it, and then it's just ended up being money that they've spent. You have to really be consistent with that and consistent with sticking with it. And I think for children, it's really hard to do that if you don't practice and if you don't stay current with it and if you don't keep up with it. I think doing self-instruction with a computer program is very difficult. There are a lot of schools in some areas of Iowa that do have parent-led before and after school language programs that are a class. And also, I believe in languages being a social thing. I really do believe in sort of the social aspect of language, especially for young people. And I'm sure Crystal and the other teachers can tell you about how much fun the kids have in class and how much interaction it is. And it's just a great time to be together. So sitting in front of a computer, I think, for a small child isn't as exciting and isn't as interesting when it comes to learning language. I think for other things, perhaps, yes. But I would argue that really we need to get it either instituted in the schools or there needs to be some sort of social aspect to learning language that can't be replaced.
And I do see throughout different communities little Spanish language education centers, that kind of thing, popping mm-hmm. up here and there. If you think, okay, well, maybe I'll go the private route, how do you know if the person who would be teaching you or your child would be qualified? Mm-hmm. How do you figure that out?
Well, I think asking is a great way to start, to say, you know, what is your experience, to ask of the instructor or ask of the person running the program, you know, what's the experience, what experience do you have working, and not just with teaching language or, you know, not are you a fluent speaker of the language, but also what experience do you have teaching young people? What experience do you have teaching, you know, K through eighth graders? Because I think that's a very important thing because they learn very differently than older students do. They can't sit down and fill out worksheets and learn in the same way. And so I think that's an important question to ask, too, is not just what is your experience with language, but what is your experience teaching this young age group? And talking to other individuals who have their children enrolled in the program is always a good idea as well. But you do have to, just like with any, you know, just like if you're getting a teacher for a musical instrument, you'll get, you know, references, and you'll talk to the teacher and see what their attitude is, and maybe you'll test it out for a little while. And I think the same thing goes for language classes.
I agree, Pam, that talking with when you work with little people, it's a very different ballgame than working with older kids. And when I'm teaching Spanish to my kids, I'm teaching them in 95% in Spanish. Mm-hmm. They hardly hear me speak English. They don't know I speak English. And so it's very social and fun activity for them to do. It's very different from the rest of their day at school. And when I say it's time to go, they're always sad. And I have some kids who have started crying on me because they don't want to leave because they love it so much. So it is a very social aspect that needs to be come in for that educational piece.
Well, and we are out of time for this hour. Crystal Saxton is a Spanish teacher in the FLES program in Cedar Rapids. Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you.
Also with us, Val Dozal, the executive director of pre-K through eighth grade education in the Cedar Rapids schools. Thank you, Val.
Thank you.
Steve Hansen, superintendent of West Liberty Community Schools. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me to participate.
And Pamela Wesley, assistant professor of foreign language and ESL at the University of Iowa. Thanks a lot, Pam.
Thank you.
This is Talk of Iowa. We have a quick forward promote from Ben Kiefer coming up on River to River
air,
today. What are you going to do?
In two words, air travel is our topic over the noon hour. So we'd like to know your pet peeves when it comes to air travel. We'll have a number of experts on that issue. Thanks, Charity.
All right, and we'll get some advice as well, right?
Yes.
All right, that's coming up at noon on River to River. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on Talk of Iowa, growing up in the Amanas. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.